1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And last week we read of Paul encouraging the Thessalonians by telling them how their faith in Jesus had made an impact far outside their own city. Pretty incredible thing for him to tell them, because again, no internet, no phones, no TV, nothing like that. But this church in the middle of this sinful city, and Paul tells them they're making an impact even outside, not just outside the church, but outside the city. Pretty incredible. And in chapter 1 of verse 8, Paul wrote, "For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had come to you," or what manner they, again, came to them. "And how," he says, "and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Again, that blows my mind. You know, that their reputation had gone forth, not only out of the church, but out of the city. I guess, you know, because Thessalonica, you know, people traveled through there. And so just an amazing work of God. And we pray that would be for us also. But again, it's individual, it's collectively. But in chapter 2, we pick it up this morning. And again, there's no chapter breaks in Paul's original letter. Okay, no chapters and verses. So he goes right into, he says in verse 1, because Paul is going to continue to recall their beginnings of when, you know, he first came to them. And he's also going to defend in this chapter his character and his ministry from those who would question his integrity. And then he will go on again to encourage the Thessalonians in their present walk with the Lord. And then finally, he will remind them of their blessed future and the return of the Lord Jesus. So again, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." It wasn't for nothing. "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." So Paul recounts what happened before coming to Thessalonica. And we covered this 2 weeks ago, if you remember, in Acts chapter 16, where he and Silas were in the city of Philippi, and they were arrested, taken, stripped of their clothes, beaten with rods, and thrown in prison. And instead of complaining or questioning God, which may be something I might have done, right? I mean, somebody arrests you, strips you of your clothes, beats you, and throws you in prison, and you're, because of your preaching the gospel, they say, "Wait a minute, Lord, this is supposed to be a good thing." But instead of questioning God why he would let this happen, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing hymns, just being faithful. And God is looking for us to be faithful, even when we don't understand what he's doing. It's not easy, but it's not just having faith for our salvation. We have to have faith sometimes in what he's doing, and we don't understand. And so they began to pray and sing hymns, and God rocked the prison by an earthquake and opened the doors and loosed their chains. And the next day, battered and bruised, they left that city and they took a week or two off. No. 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 They didn't take any time off. They traveled to Thessalonica. And when they got there, you know, because of the beatings that they just received, you know, again, it would have been so easy to just quietly share the gospel with a couple people instead of making a big deal and getting beaten again, possibly. It would have been so easy to do that. But Paul says they didn't shy away from preaching publicly. Instead, they boldly, he says, proclaimed the gospel, even though some gave them a hard time. That's what he said. As you know, we were bold in verse 2. In our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. So they had a hard time again. Where's that come from? Where does persecution come like that come from? Comes from the enemy. And he knew that. And he wasn't going to let the enemy win. And the enemy sure does try to win in different ways in our life. And there's people that have come to this church and they're battling different things. And it seems like Satan is winning. You know, but in the end, even if they battle things, I know their heart is for God. And I'm no judge of anyone. But, you know, Satan's not going to win, right? We just sang that song, right? Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, you have met my king. Oh, fear, are you trembling? Because we both know who wins. We both know who wins this fight, right? We know. At the end of our battles, at the end of our tribulations, at the end of our sorrows, at the end of our sicknesses, is a place that we can't even begin to imagine. And we can't let go of that. I can't let go of that. Because if we give up, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Who has life like the Lord does? Who gives us promises like the Lord does? Who has suffered for us like the Lord has? No one. No one. And that's why these guys kept going. This is why the Lord put these letters together. So we can see these things, these examples of men who weren't perfect. Paul admitted it himself that he wasn't. He says, I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do. Not all the time. But the enemy in the flesh messed with him too. But the thing is, you know, with Paul here, they boldly proclaimed the gospel, even though they were given a hard time again. Jesus never said following him would be easy or pleasant or popular. Sometimes it is, but he never said that. In fact, Jesus warned us that if people hated him, many times people would hate us as well. And he says we will have tribulation. You know, and again, we hear about this going on in the world today. People still losing their lives because of their faith in Christ. Why? Because Satan is still the god of this world and he has great influence over people. Just as he had influence over us at one time. He's still working, but the Lord is working as well. And so, we know what the result of Paul's boldness was. A lot of people did come to faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, he knew the gospel, the simple gospel, had the power of God not only to save people, but to transform their lives. Transform lives. You know, it's so good to listen to testimonies sometimes of all different kinds of people to see how God is working. And Paul and Silas, they were willing to suffer to get the message out. I know. Some of us are shy from speaking of the Lord because we don't know what people are going to say, or we don't this and that. But like I've said, is the world shy in trying to get us to conform to its ways? No way. It's constant. There's a lot of voices out there. A lot. And because of the internet, forget it. The enemy's taking advantage of that also. But so is the Lord, right? He's using the internet also. How many messages are out there and Bible studies and different things, teachings? There's got to be billions now. But there's a lot of garbage out there too. Let's go to the left to Romans chapter 1. And Paul wrote this. And we've heard this verse. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The gospel is the power of God. The power is not in us, so to speak. You know, the Holy Spirit is, but it's the power of the gospel that saves people's lives. So back in Thessalonians, in verse 3 of chapter 2, and Paul says to them, "For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit." So Paul may give us, this verse may give us an idea of the accusations that were made against Paul, Silas, and Timothy, which was they were using the Thessalonians for their own benefit. That's why he says their message didn't come from impure motives. And I don't know, if you shared the Lord with anybody, at times, you know how many times I've heard, "Well, oh, the churches, they're all about money. These pastors, they're all about money." That's what they see. That's what they hear. Is that true? Yes and no. Some, not all. They don't hear or see the things that, you know, Christians do in different ministries, Samaritan's Purse, all over the world, even in our country, so many different ministries, churches, missionaries, you know, building schools in poor countries, feeding people, so many different things. You know, they don't see or hear that because that's not proclaimed. But the minute a pastor does something, boom. And I've heard people say, "That's why I don't go to church." That's the enemy for you, you know. So I say, well, listen, and this is just an example, but I said, well, there was a plumber in my town that was convicted for being a pedophile. So does that mean I can't call any plumber now? They're all no good? No, it's ridiculous. But that's the thoughts of the enemy putting into people's heads. Or verse 4. He says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." Now Paul says they have God's approval, and he's given them the responsibility of proclaiming the gospel. And that God knows their hearts and motives as to why they do it. to why they do it. Why do we do what we do? Shouldn't be for personal gain. But how much different is Paul's life than what God has called us to do? You know, really, God has entrusted all believers with the gospel, not just those who are in so-called ministry. You know, the gospel is not something we're supposed to keep to ourselves, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Remember the Lord with the parable, you know, he gave money to three different people, and then, you know, the guy came back and saw what they, each one of them did with their money. One held on to it, afraid to do anything, you know, three different examples. And so that parable was relating to what God has given us. What do we do with it? Do we bury it and save it? What do we do with it? We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. That's why God calls some to be missionaries to foreign countries. And some people God calls to be missionaries to their children or to their neighbors or to their co-workers or to people that just walk by their home. Christianity is a team effort, right? But our focus, primary focus, is on whatever God has called us to do. And again, for a long time, I was like, I don't know what God wants me to do. I know what I wanted to do. I wanted to lead worship, but God had closed doors for many years. But the main thing he's called us to do, everyone, because everyone can do it, is share the gospel. You know, and the thing is that God holds us accountable for what we've been given. Again, going back to that parable of the money. God holds us accountable for what we've been given. It includes the knowledge and the resources that we have. Again, I can't stand my phone. One of these days it's going to wind up in Newark Bay, I'm telling you. It's going. Far, far out in the middle so nobody can get it. But that little thing, can you imagine if Paul had that? A phone with all the scriptures on it, the whole Old Testament, instead of lugging around scrolls and all kind of things. Every kind of sermon, Bible study, evangelism classes, everything we could possibly imagine. So you see what I'm saying? God holds us accountable. Really. Let's go to Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. And in the middle of verse 48, he says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Right? I mean, if there ever was a scripture about us, that's it. Think about this. You know, I mean, Paul had it down. I mean, God gave him some revelations. But for the most part, we have more knowledge about the gospel than 90-something percent of those who are in the Bible. Think about that. The prophets, they didn't know the gospel. They never heard it. But they knew the Messiah was coming. They prophesied that. God spoke to them about that, but they didn't understand the gospel. And we do. So that whole Old Testament, even John the Baptist, really the last Old Testament prophet, because he came before the Lord, he didn't totally understand the gospel. Even the apostles didn't even understand the gospel in the beginning. But we do, in the palm of our hands. And we're taught it all the time. But back in 1 Thessalonians, verse 5, and Paul continues and says, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." So again, Paul is saying, you know, his motives, their motives weren't to get rich. He never bragged about himself as being an apostle, being an apostle to get praise. That's easy to do. You guys know who I am? He didn't do that. He didn't try to build his own popularity. And so he's saying he didn't come to the Thessalonians like that at all. He was there to give them something, not take something from them. Let's turn to the left till we get into 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, and Paul writes, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Wow. You know, these guys out there, in it for themselves. I mean, if ever something was crazy, you know, you're playing with the Lord now. That's heavy duty. Whether they started that way, I don't know. The fame, wealth come along, it can change people's hearts. Even believers. Back in 1 Thessalonians, verse 7, he says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So, affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." Now Paul's saying that his love for them was just like a mother's love for a child, and that he, Silas, and Timothy, they gave all of themselves to them. They even put their lives on the line to see them grow and be strong in the faith. Wow. You know, in these sacrifices Paul made for the sake of the ministry, they weren't a burden to him. He was pleased to do it. Again, because he loved these people so much. And so why is Paul reminding them this, of this? Ego? No. You know, Paul's writing to them. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are now gone. The church is on their own. And sometimes all they had to go on was their memory of what Paul taught and these letters. You know, and also, them giving their lives to them, they could remember, you know, how he lived, even for that short time, and dealing with idolatry and persecution that was around them. And trust me, there are times in our Christian walk when we have to go from memory as well. When God brings us scriptures in certain situations, you know, and also that we remind ourselves what the Lord has done for us. We prayed before about that God has taken us out of this world, so to speak, even though we're living in it. We have to remember that sometimes. Really. Sometimes we forget how far, you know, the more distance that we came out of that, we go back and like, I mean, well, some of you, maybe some of you not, because I don't know your testimony, but, you know, I go back and I'm like, oy vey, what were you doing? What were you thinking? What was wrong with me? It was a lot. A lot. What was wrong with me? I didn't have the Lord in my life. That's what was wrong with me. And when the Lord's not in your life, you know, you're going to follow whatever. So again, having these memories for them. And that's why he says in verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil and laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. Right? You know, when Paul got to Thessalonica, you know, it didn't come with this big sob story that, you know, we got beaten up in Philippi. They just started serving the people. He didn't sit around and wait for people to give him money or take a collection. In Acts chapter 18, we learn that Paul got a job. He worked as a tent maker. So he was able to support himself financially and not be a financial burden to any local church, even though they did take collections for him at times. They did support him. You know, the Bible says a servant is worthy of his wages. You know, I've never had to take anything from church. You know, I had a job. What do I need to get paid from the church for? I don't need that. But again, you know, if somebody's full-time, you know, big church, sure, they're on salary. You know, and it's a lot, even regular staff in a lot of churches. But Paul wanted to make sure that nothing bad could be said about his ministry. And so in verse 10, he says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So in the short time that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were with them, they lived in a way as to be a role model for them in Christianity. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Can we say that? Is that something that we can say? I'm not. You have to answer that question within yourself. You know, can you say to somebody, follow me as I follow Christ? Imitate me as I follow Christ? It's pretty daunting, right, to think about that. But again, Paul wasn't perfect. They weren't perfect. aren't perfect. We should be able to say that. I believe, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, because it's a fact that people watch what we do far more than what we say. Somebody said, evangelize, and if necessary, use words. Right? Evangelize, but if necessary, use words. What do they mean? Let people see Christ in our lives. So Paul says they were witnesses of the consistency in their lives. What they preached matched what or how they lived, meaning they were the same on the street as they were in church. If you've been here any amount of time, you've heard me say a lot of times, it's easy to be a Christian in church, right? Absolutely. Easy. Praise God, we know all the, you know, and that's okay. That's okay. You know, we want that, right? We want that. Because outside in this world, right, it's not like that. But it's easy to be a Christian in church, but, you know, he calls us to carry that out into our lives, into our family lives, into our job place, wherever we go. Wherever we go. So if we want to be a good witness to others, how we behave says far more than the fact that we profess to be a Christian. And again, verse 11, he says, as you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom of glory. Okay. So to exhort someone means to urge them strongly or give them warnings or advice. Encouragement, of course, keeps us going and it helps us to do what's right. And not only do we need to be willing to do these things for others, we need people who will exhort, comfort, and urge us also. Romans chapter 12. And Paul writes about behaving like a Christian, but we focus on verse 10 right now. And he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Huh. Wow. It's awesome. Like I said, sometimes I can't wait to get to church to hang out with you guys for a little bit. You know, sometimes it's a long week. You know, and of course, Wednesday and Tuesdays. Sometimes, but it can be. It can be stressful, you know. So to see you guys every week, it's a good thing. You know, could be a lot worse. Amen. Amen. So.